Sure.
Okay, so it according to my time at 6:03 p.m. October 12th, and I bring to order the October 12th UAB meeting, Utility Advisory Board meeting. My name is John Miller. I'm the chair. And go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Anybody? Ed Kianjian, West Lindenboro, a citizen.
Mona LaPierre, citizen.
Go ahead, Anthony.
I'm Tony Larson, a board member, citizen.
Tom Boland with Murray Smith. I'm on the design team for the city's water line.
My name's Alan Hindy. I'm the resident engineer for ODOT and the project manager for the I-205 improvements project.
I'm Jocelyn Pease with the UAB.
And I'm Amy Pepper with the city, and I'm your staff liaison.
Okay, does that cover everybody? All right, let's move on to the first item. Approval of the summary notes from August 2021. Has everybody had an opportunity to look at the summary notes? I've had an opportunity to quickly go over them.
I have too. I don't have any changes to them.
Just
Mona, go ahead.
No changes.
Okay. Jeremy, how about you?
Changes.
They look good to me. I'll move to approve the notes.
Second. Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Was that Jocelyn that seconded it?
That was, sorry. Yes.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to approve the summary notes for August 2021. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Those that oppose? Okay, so the we've approved the summary notes for August 2021. Next item on the agenda is business, the I-205 waterline project. And we have tonight ODOT project team to present. So I'll turn it over to either Tom or Alan, whoever wants to take over.
Right. So Alan and Tom, you both have the ability to share. So you should be able to share your screen.
I can share my screen, I think. Okay. Is everyone seeing that okay?
Got it.
Zoom out here real quick so you can see it all. Do you have the actual presentation, Tom?
I have the PDF. I have the last presentation that I sent your way.
Oh, there we go. I got it now.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're good. Okay, so thanks for having us this evening. As I mentioned earlier, I'm Alan Hindy, project manager for this project, working with Tom here. On some of the utility and water line design that's a part of this project. Tonight, I'm just going to go over kind of a brief overview of the project and kind of where we're at. And then Tom will get into a little bit of the details around the water line itself. And some of the cost sharing that we've been having discussions with Westland Public Works about, and then we'll talk about kind of, you know, what to expect this next year. So so this slide here represents kind of the entire project area for the improvements. The project's been split into two phases. Phase one is on the right, and it's kind of the multicolored phase you see, and then phase two is on the left. Phase two starts down at Stafford Road and continues up to 10th Street. And then 10th Street is where phase one picks up and carries up to Oregon 213 in Oregon City. What you see here in green, this is what we're calling phase 1A. And that's the large portion of the project that we're getting ready to go to construction with this year, by the end of this year, and actually start work next year. So we'll talk a little bit more in detail about phase 1A in just a minute. Phase 1B is just the continuation of the white lane widening up to Oregon 213, and it ties into phase 1A. It comes out at a later date. Phase 1C, same thing, is a little bit more of the widening, some of the bridge replacement that's going to happen on West A Street and Sunset, and then our rock blasting that has to happen to widen the freeway. Phase 1D in pink here continues the widening and improves the 10th Street interchange, and those are kind of the elements that are wrapped up into phase one. Phase two, it also right now is being looked at as far as how it can be packaged, what kind of construction packages those are going to look like. But it includes, you know, as you can see on the map, it includes a couple of sound walls that were voted on by the residents of West Lynn. It includes Blankenship Road, seismic retrofit on the bridge, and then full bridge replacements for Woodbine, Tualatin River, and Borland. And then the entire section's getting widened to three lanes as well. So as I mentioned earlier, this is phase two, and currently phase two sits unfunded, and it's out in the future. I think I have a slide later on that will go over the schedule and kind of what to expect coming up. We'll jump into that. This little pullout here is of interest to you know, the citizens of West Lynn. This is the Oregon 43 interchange on the west side of the Abernathy Bridge, and this interchange is being reconfigured. And so the intersection will become a roundabout at the conclusion of phase 1A. And so that's part of the package that's going out at the end of this year. You'll also notice that the northbound on-ramp movement from northbound Oregon 43 is also shown in red here as being removed. That turning movement and access to the freeway will now go through the roundabout, and then there'll be one access point here onto 205 northbound. So before I move on, are there any questions regarding the improvements for either phase one or phase two?
Now that just kind of a simple question, but I presume that doesn't affect the fact there's just two lanes each way across that whole bridge, right? That's not going to be changing, is that correct?
No, the Abernathy is going to be widened to four lanes in both directions.
It's what? I'm sorry?
The Abernathy will be widened to four lanes in both directions. We're going to talk more about the bridge here in just on the next few slides.
Okay.
All right. And here we go. So here, this is kind of a detailed look at phase 1A, kind of a closer view of what's happening at the Oregon 43 interchange. And then obviously we've got the bridge work across here. We do have a sound wall in phase 1A that was also voted on by the residents in Oregon City on that side of the river. And so this is primarily what phase 1A is gonna look like, and kind of the work that it's gonna cover. So talking about the Abernathy Bridge and how we're going to construct that. So the bridge will be widened to 4 lanes. So there'll be 3 general purpose lanes and then an auxiliary lane between Oregon 99 and Oregon 43 in both directions. In order to accomplish this, the bridge is also right now not able to withstand a large earthquake because of the foundations and the age of the structure itself. And so this project is going to seismically upgrade a lot of the features of the bridge. In order to accomplish our widening, we have to, widen the substructure and the cross beams and build new foundations. These new foundations are going to be large 12-foot diameter drilled shafts that will be just placed outside of the existing columns and foundations of the existing structure. As you can kind of see on this diagram here, you can see the existing structures kind of faded away here in the middle. And this is the new, this will be the new substructure of the bridge. So once all of this is constructed, we're going to take each direction of I-205 and slide it out, slide the entire structure out 8 feet. And by sliding both structures out 8 feet, that will create the space in the middle for us to do our widening. And then we'll also be widening on this outside edge of both directions as well. And so that's how we're accomplishing the widening of this, of both these structures. The slide of the bridge structures themselves will occur during a full weekend closure. And so we'll have to close northbound for a weekend from a Friday to a Monday, and then we'll have to come back. And roughly, we've got an anticipated schedule of roughly about a month. The contractor will turn around and do the same for the southbound bridge and close southbound as well. We'll have regional detours up in place, and then local traffic will be able to access all the way up to 10th Street during the closure for the northbound. And then for southbound, the closure will start at Oregon 213. So this is just another slide kind of showing. So once we've slid the bridges, this is where the construction in the middle will occur. And then ultimately this is what the view of the bridge will look like with our strengthened substructure that can withstand a major Cascadia earthquake event and our widened bridge. And the reason this is important, and Tom will get into this later, is that this is where the water line, where the current water line, the 24-inch water line hangs, is off the Abernathy structure. So with that, I'll turn it over to Tom.
Great, Alan. I can share my screen so that way I can use my pointer. And
all right.
Let's see if I can do this. Let's see. Can everybody see this?
Nope, I'm not seeing it.
Nope. Okay. Let me try something else here. How about now?
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Alan. Yeah, I'm Tom Boland with Murray Smith. We are the design engineers for the waterline portion of the project. The city's existing sole transmission main from the South Fork Water Board runs across the center of the Abernathy Bridge, pictured here on the left under this cross-section that shows approach spans. So it's hanging, actually resting on a catwalk on pipe supports. It's an existing 24-inch pipe. And the challenge is that the bridge widening over the water, which is the main spans here on the right, makes it impossible to keep the pipe in its current location. So modifications need to be done for about 1,000 feet of pipe to relocate that into a position that works with the new bridge layout. So the existing main is just over 50 years old, constructed around 1970. 1969, 1970, and it's a steel pipe with coal tar enamel lining, which is considered obsolete in this day and age. That's not a lining that you would use on a pipe anymore. And the capacity of the existing main is 10 million gallons a day. So with the age and the challenges associated with replacing the pipe at the midspan of the bridge, the city has put into place plans to replace the entire pipeline across the bridge, which is a total of 2,700 feet across the bridge. And so the plan also includes upsizing this diameter of the pipe to a 30-inch diameter pipe. So that extra six inches in diameter provides 15 million gallons a day in capacity. So the improvements also increase the city's water supply capacity. For future growth. So on the approach spans, the new water line will replace the existing 24-inch line in the same location on a center catwalk here. And so basically it'll be a remove and replace. And then on the areas of the bridge over the water, the main spans, as Alan described, the bridge is going to be, there's going to be a slide that happens, and the northbound and southbound portions of the bridge will slide apart, and these new steel members that'll support the new bridge deck will be constructed, and the new 30-inch water line will replace the existing 24-inch water line in this lower and offset location on this cantilevered catwalk. So an overview, well, anybody have any questions on that?
Yeah, this is Mona. I have a question. You mentioned further, the capacity for further growth. What is that projected upon?
I think
my understanding, West Lynn's pretty built out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but it provides additional capacity. Maybe I misspoke by saying it's for future growth. It's just allows more water to flow faster over the bridge.
Yeah. I believe our understanding from some of the folks at the city talking about the heat wave this summer, I think the demand was upwards of almost 12 million gallons of demand, and the pipe currently, like as Tom mentioned, is you know, designed and sized for 10 million. So there is a need for kind of increasing that.
So sizing it to a what historic event is what I'm hearing.
To, Was that a question?
Well, it's more of a, your Westland's pretty, we're built out and I keep hearing growth and there is no place to grow. And yes, I understand we needed 12 million gallons a day during a historic heat wave that happens once every so often. I'm just questioning the need for the future additional capacity for a city that's quote unquote built out.
Mona, I haven't been a part of those discussions, but I can circle back with Lance Calvert on that and get you an answer outside this meeting.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I presume Lake Oswego may have a little interest in having this expanded, you know, because in emergencies, it'll be getting some of the water. So it also will help that particular geographic region down there in case there are difficulties in any of the three or four other towns. I think that should be a consideration too. That makes sense.
That's a great point. Yeah. We've been working with them. We've been working with Lake Oswego.
Sure.
With their utility board as well.
We don't live in a vacuum on this stuff, you know. So
it's true.
Yeah. So the city of West Lynn and Lake Oswego Tigard have a emergency supply intergovernmental agreement that allows a minimum of 4 million gallons a day transfer during an emergency. And so obviously if an emergency were to happen during the summer when the city's demands are higher, more water coming across the bridge is available, because in a situation where the city has high demands and say your neighbor has an emergency and you need the water, you can't give them what they may need just to get by with their basic demands. Yeah. So
this is Ed again. I just generally it's better be a little bit over than under in some project like that that's going to be around for 30 or 40 more years. I don't know. It's pretty simplest way of looking at it, but that's really, I'm sure, built into the idea there, not to build it right up to what it is exactly now, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that was kind of the thinking of Lance and others within Public Works.
Yeah.
Was they're not going to have an opportunity to put a water line on a structure like this again in the future, because it's very expensive and very complicated. But we're going to have, through this project, we will have a contractor that's mobilized that has the ability and experience of doing this type of work.
I'm familiar with replacing pipelines, and I just wanted to ask the question of the thought process. So thank you for indulging me. I would put redundant pipes on, but that would just be me.
that was an option that we looked at.
It wasn't I'm sure. I'm glad it was, but you know.
Also, isn't the doesn't the IGA between the city and Lake Oswego Tigard or Tigard, whatever it was, up until 2141 or something like that, 20 years out from approximately? That's a range, it's not a specific date. So so in 20 years we'll either have to have a new IGA or the extra 6 inches there would help out a lot.
Agreed. So kind of stepping back off the bridge and taking a bigger picture look at it. There's about 2,700 feet of on-bridge water line that's going to be replaced. And then because a section of this pipeline lies within ODOT right of way and there's a lot of off bridge construction, there's an additional 400 feet of off bridge waterline replacement happening on the West Lynn side, connecting to existing piping at Highway 43. And then more than 1,000 feet of off-bridge 24-inch water line that's being replaced on the Oregon City side and connecting under at Main Street and 17th. And so that these water lines cross under the on-ramp of I-205, and there'll be a tunnel portion of this, but because of the construction and the city's mains are in ODOT's right of way and in conflict with certain new improvements, these off-bridge upgrades are also needed. There's a new retaining wall that's going to be built right across along Main Street here that will be constructed on top of the city's existing transmission main that runs in a straight line from 17th. And there's some deep piles that are going to be driven. And so we need to get the existing main away from that retaining wall and get it in a safer location. This is a table that represents some of the cost sharing that ODOT and the city have been planning. So I've captured here just some of the key items that ODOT is participating in a cost share. And there's a lot of numbers here. I'm not sure that you can see it in great detail, but I wanted to run through these to just cover some of the items and talk a bit about the cost sharing opportunity with ODOT. The first item is training. It's 25% of the project cost. And ODOT's gonna cover that cost for their overall project, with their overall project, because that's required on all federal projects. So the city will not be paying that. ODOT is also going to cover the cost of contractor mobilization, which is 10% of the total construction cost, as well as construction survey. ODOT's going to cover that with their overall project cost. These next two items are the big cost items in the city's project. And I don't have all the pipe and everything listed out here. I'm just showing the items that are shared. The water main inspection platform, that's the catwalk that the water main will be supported on. And ODOT is offering a 50% cost share on that because they use the catwalk for bridge inspections. Also, there's some drain lines and electrical conduits on that. So that'll be a shared cost facility, as will the utility attachment on bridge. That's some structural supports that are needed to support the water line and the catwalk. And because that's a component of the catwalk, ODOT is willing to split that 50-50.
I think ODOT is expecting a lot of this federal money that's being held up in Congress now for infrastructure, but that's fine, you know. Whatever they do, they sound awfully generous about these things.
Well, I can speak to that. The funding for this phase of construction is fully funded through House Bill 3055. It was approved in the legislative session this summer.
Okay. And,
allows the borrowing of the funds for the construction of this project. So we've got the full amount of $375 million authorized for this early pack, for this first package of work.
And so here the construction items subtotal. So that's not the total of the numbers that you see up above, but it's actually the actual construction cost estimate subtotal from a much larger table. But you can see it's roughly 12.7 million with ODOT sharing 4.8 million and the city covering 7.8 million. And then we add in a 5% contingency for unknowns, and that based on the estimate is going to be covered by the city. And so then we add in the contingency to the construction items, and the city's cost subtotal is 8.5 million. On top of that, ODOT adds a 9% for construction engineering, and ODOT is going to cover the cost of construction engineering with their overall project. So the city won't see additional cost from that. So that's a great opportunity for the city there. And then finally, escalation to midpoint of construction 2024. ODOT uses a 3.5% inflation rate per year. And since the project is being bid in basically early 2022, this escalation rate accounts for the fact that the city's work won't happen until 2023-2024. So that's what that number is. And then total with contingency and escalation is 15.5 million with ODOT's share at 6 million and the city's share at 9.5 million. Any questions?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Are those in the justification column that 50% cost shared by ODOT, is that negotiable or has that already been determined?
That's the result of our negotiation. We were going to have our original intention was to have the city cover all this, but trying to be good partners and understanding that this is a large cost for a city to take on. And we do get some use and benefit out of it, based off the old agreements that were written in the 70s. The city is responsible for the catwalks and those utility attachments, but we do ODOT realize that there's a benefit in that for us too. So that was the agreement we reached, with Public Works was, to split that cost in half.
So past history back in 1970, I remember anyway, that basically, makes this have to be 50% because it was 50% back then or what?
No, it was 100% paid by the city back then.
The city paid 100% back in 1970. Okay. And back to my original question, that is fixed now, or is it still up for negotiation?
We're negotiating our IGA right now with the city between ODOT.
So the IGA is under negotiation right now. So
correct. It's okay. With the attorneys being negotiated right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and so obviously these are estimated prices, but the percentages are fixed, so to speak, as part of ongoing negotiations. And then Alan, I think I hand it off to you here for schedule.
Yeah. All right, thanks, Tom. Oh, do you want to just keep it up?
Yeah, you bet.
All right.
Let me Let's see.
Yeah, you guys didn't mention it, but was there a kind of like a preliminary list of materials? Like, what do we know? What kind of pipe they will be using for that main, or is it still, you know, under engineering?
Yeah. So it is ductile iron pipe with fully restrained joints. So that's been decided at this point. We looked at alternative materials and determined that this was the most cost effective. It's, you know, readily available. It's common materials for water mains. And that's at 30 inch. It's a better price point than welded, custom welded steel. And we looked at HDPE pipe, which is plastic pipe. And, you know, due to expansion properties of HDPE pipe, it's not applicable to hanging off a bridge because of the high thermal expansion that happens with the pipeline. We're also using some double ball expansion joints at the bridge expansion joints. This bridge seismic upgrade is being designed to allow some relatively large longitudinal and transverse movements. So, you know, there's expansion six expansion joints in the approach and main spans, and those expansion joints can expand and contract and then slide side to side in an earthquake with movements up to, in some cases, a foot. And so the city's pipe being a lifeline backbone of their system, the pipeline is being designed to accommodate that high level of seismic movement as well. So it's being designed to survive the big earthquake.
Yeah, this whole corridor is designated as the earthquake ready route for the Portland metro region. So along with this bridge, the other eight bridges, you know, throughout the corridor are being upgraded seismically to withstand an event, so that this corridor can maintain a north-south connectivity through the area. So any other questions before I jump into kind of the schedule? I think this is our last slide, so. All right, so this kind of is a real high level snapshot of our overall project schedule. As you can see at the top, we're, you know, phase one and phase two, we're doing a lot of local agency coordination, you know, both with Oregon City, Westland, WES, which is the Wastewater Environmental Services for Clackamas County, and with Clackamas County themselves on this project. So we've been working closely with all the municipalities, coordinating the impacts that we're going to have during some of the detours, during some of the night work that's going to be occurring on this project, and then just on the overall, you know, duration of the project and all of the different improvements throughout the corridor. We're sitting right now just, you know, finishing up our design for phase 1A, which goes in less than 2 weeks for our final stamp plans to begin kind of the procurement process through headquarters at that point. So we're getting really close. You can see there's a site preparation work noted on the schedule here. That That's actually the tree clearing or tree removal work that just started yesterday. And so that work is will be occurring right now and be complete by the end of October. That work is critical to this project for us to get access to the water, to the Willamette River on both sides of the river, in order for our contractor to start work next summer on all the temporary bridge that needs to be built across, you know, into the river to build the new foundations. Because of this area of the Willamette River, we have to operate under an in-water work window, which is from July through October. And so that's the time next summer that the contractor can be in there working in the water. The unfortunate part that where environmental permits don't always line up with each other is that this area is also identified as a nesting area for migratory birds. And so the only time that we can cut trees down that's outside of their nesting window is between September and March. And so that's where we're taking advantage of this current window that's outside the nesting season to remove some of those trees so that we don't delay the project a whole nother year waiting to get access down the river. And so that site preparation work is occurring now. There's about 57 maybe trees that are going to be removed. And it's on, I think there's 26 on the Westland side and whatever the difference is on the Oregon City side. And so like, as I mentioned, that work's happening now. We've done a lot of outreach, a lot of public outreach. We've sent a lot of information to both City of Oregon City and Westland to share with the residents about not only the tree removal work, but what's coming up on the project, what they can expect coming down the pike. And so our hope is we're going to have this project advertised here in December of this year, and we'll be opening up bids by next March if everything goes as planned, and with the hopes of having a contractor out there on the ground by next summer starting this work. So as you can see on the schedule here, we still have right away utility coordination work that's happening. We're still working on some of the permitting, and then our phase two design is going to be picking up here again to move the rest of the packages in phase two forward from a design perspective. So we do anticipate phases, the 1B, 1C and 1D, those packages starting construction at some point in probably mid 2023, but a lot of that's going to be contingent upon you know, future funding. So I think that's about it for our project schedule. And I think for our presentation, right? Is that the last slide, Tom?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
All right. So I think, you know, we'll be happy to go back to any slides or answer any other questions that any of you all have this evening.
Alan, this is Tony again. So if they're going to start with the foundation for the bridge, do we know what the timeline is for that? And would that any of that necessarily have a big impact on traffic? When do we expect traffic to kind of start being impacted?
That's a great question. So our overall construction sequence for this project is we're anticipating it's going to be a 4-year project for phase 1A. The main driver there, as I mentioned, is the in-water work period that we have to operate under. Because everything associated with this structure is down in the river, down in the area that is of concern with you know, with the regulatory agencies, we have to, you know, abide by the in-water work window. So we anticipate that the first season is going to be primarily work being done down in the river on the temporary work bridge. The work bridge that has to be built on both sides to get access out to the foundation areas for all the equipment and everything is a massive, extensive structure, as you can imagine. It's built on a lot of piles, and it's going to be it's going to be an undertaking in itself to get that constructed. So we anticipate that will likely take up the first construction season. From a traffic impact standpoint, the roundabout work that's going to happen on Oregon 43, we do have that kind of anticipated to happen in the first year. But it can kind of float around within there between the first year or the second year of construction. And at this point, we've got a schedule that we've planned out the project, so we know how long we can anticipate. But once we award this to a contractor, the schedule becomes theirs, and they kind of own the schedule and they're in charge of it. So whether or not that roundabout work and the Oregon 43 work happens in the first season or the second season, it's tough to pin that down right now, because it could happen either, because really the driver and the critical path for this project is the work that's happening in the water. And so there is work on both sides that could have traffic impacts, that could happen the first season, or it could happen the second season, or even the third. But one of our commitments that we're taking very seriously, we have an entire team kind of built around our communication plan. And we're developing that right now as we speak. We're sharing that with both the city of West Linn and Oregon City on how we plan to communicate our impacts to the public throughout the construction of this project. We don't anticipate there being a lot of high impact events on this particular phase of the project, because so much is happening down below for the bridge work. But when we get later on in the project and we start talking about sliding the bridges, those are going to be high impact events that are going to, you know, we'll advertise those well in advance of when those occur. But there's also going to be some nightly stuff towards the end of the project, as we tie in all the different pieces of the project, do all the paving, as we're striping and signing and doing all the new sign bridges. All of those have nightly, you know, nightly lane closures and impacts. And it's just too early for us to really tell what that's going to look like, because that's really what we rely on the contractor to kind of plan and schedule. But what I can tell you is that we're going to have a very robust communication plan that's going to include, you know, a variety of different media types and formats to read, you know, to share the information with the public. And somewhere, you know, we'll have likely weekly emails going out with traffic impacts. You know, I think people can sign up for text messages. There's going to be all kinds of avenues to get information on what those impacts look like once we're in construction. Does that help answer that?
Yeah, it does. I figured it was kind of going to be a moving target, but, you know, the communication, I think, is going to be the biggest thing, is people knowing exactly what's going on and what to expect.
Yeah, agreed. And that's going to be our goal.
Alan, this is Mona. This is kind of a selfish question. I live up on the top of Sunset. When's that bridge going out? Sorry.
Not selfish at all. I'd have the same question if I were you. Well, again, that, excuse me, Sunset Bridge replacement is, that element of work is planned for what we're calling Package 1C. Right now we're at least thinking 2024, 2025 before we start kind of working on those other elements of the work, because they tie in so closely with all this work that's happening on the Abernathy. We actually have an independent team right now, as it says on this slide here. Scheduling of phases 1B through 1D is tentative and will be refined this fall. We've got a team right now, kind of an independent team, looking at the packaging for the rest of the project and what that looks like. So I don't have a good answer for you, but it's out a few years.
That's fine. That's a good answer. Thank you.
Okay, does anybody else have a question? Okay. Well, thank you very much. Will we be able to get a copy of that slideshow there?
Yeah, I think, Amy, you have a copy of this, don't you?
Yeah, I will be sending it out with the meeting minutes, and it'll be posted to the website, so you'll have a copy of that.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much.
My contact info is in there, so if you have any other follow-up questions or want some more information, you know, and you know what, in fact, let me put this in the chat here real quick, because we've got a really great website that I'm not sure if everyone's seen, but I would love to take this opportunity to share it with you, and I'll drop it in the chat so everyone can have it. But I would highly encourage everyone to go take a look at our website. We've got a ton of information on there, a lot of presentation materials, all of our outreach events we've done with the different construction industries and the different groups around Portland. So feel free to peruse and look around there too.
All right. Okay, well, thank you very much. That was certainly informative. So,
yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty.
Okay.
Have a great evening.
Thank you.
See ya.
Okay, so if we want to hit our 7 o'clock deadline here, we have two more items here on the list in our agenda. Bond and long-term capital finance mechanisms. I don't really want to go into that, but does anybody want to discuss that tonight in terms of where board members are in that, or do you want to save that for the next meeting?
Saving it for Excel is fine with me.
Okay. Anybody else want to?
I would support talking about it at the next meeting. I think we want to sort it out in advance of a follow-up meeting with the council, but I think we're
right. Yeah.
Yet.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. So we will table that for right now, and we'll go on to the last date, which is important dates for the primary election. And I notice Amy has put in the deadline to file for the measure is February 25th. Is there anything else that we could add to that information about the important dates there?
No, the only thing I was going to mention, and it wasn't mentioned by the ODOT staff, the city is required to identify funding, at least available funding for the waterline project by December. There's the 205 project is fast tracked, and part of ODOT's requirements is they have to say that they have all the money by December. So the city is working through that, but they're still working on, because the money doesn't have to be spent in December, we're working on what that looks like, and then a future plan on how we actually get the funding, which likely will be some proposals that possibly go for a bond in May. So the finance director will have additional information on that, because we don't have obviously the $9.6 million of funding available.
Okay. All right, capital project update.
All right, I will be fairly quick about this. In the past, I've talked about a Highway 43 waterline project in advance of the Highway 43 improvements, given the impacts of the 205 project on the waterfront specifically. We are tabling that at 90% design until we have more information. The Highway 43 project continues to get delayed, so we feel pretty comfortable delaying improvements there until we just know more about funding opportunities in the waterfront. The Bittner Street sewer line project, and this is right next to Sunset Elementary, is currently under construction. The sewer line in that area has a lot of defects, and it's actually on private property without any easements. So that project is currently under construction. And then our 2021 roads program is still under construction. They're working in the Calaroga Circle in Calaroga. Street area. And then the last project I have, I'll do a share screen, is as part of the Main Street project, the water fund has paid for this a fountain similar to one in the picture. The more rectangular portion, the structure of the fountain itself, is going forward to construction now. It will have a normal water and then a carbonated water available at it. And currently under discussion, after a lot of back and forth with the council, the Main Street group, and I think now it's gone to the Arts Commission, is the actual piece of art that will sit on the top of that fountain. It was going to look like what you see in the picture, which is a woman with a water jug. There was a lot of unhappiness about that. So the community is going to be discussing what that should look like in the future. And the question that I have for you is, as the utility advisory board over our water fund, how much participation do you want in the future in that discussion about the piece of art that will sit on that water fountain? We spent, I believe, about $1,500 on the piece of art because we had, we thought we had some consensus that that was okay. And then the community has decided that they don't like that piece of art, so we'll likely be using it someplace else or auctioning it or something to recoup those dollars. So that's kind of a question back to you. This is, again, was water funds paid for the fountain there? I've paid for the fountain, so as much or as little participation as you would like in this project and deciding on the piece of art on the top. We are happy to accommodate if you would just like to be informed of when it goes to the Arts Commission or some other group. We can just keep you in the loop on that as well. And that is all I have for capital projects.
Okay.
I'm actually glad you brought that up. I was questioned about that fountain and I knew nothing about it. And there was a question from a citizen regarding how that fountain will be paid for, I believe, one, and two, where does the money come from for the water? Did that come out of the water fund? And if so, is that our responsibility to say yay or nay to that service being provided by the water fund?
The historic role that the utility advisory board hasn't been to get into the project details, like deciding whether or not the water fund should pay for a water fountain or not as part of a project. Main Street project was a conglomeration of bond funding, a little bit of different funding, not just for the bond funding. So I'm not sure how it was decided that this portion of it would be funded by the water fund, except that it's related to water. But again, generally the utility advisory board doesn't get into this level of detail of funding projects and specific pieces of projects. But moving forward with the art piece, we then want part of that discussion or setting some recommendations on budgets or something about how much the water fund should be contributed to what is essentially art on the top of it. I think we're open to that.
Well, does anybody have an idea about how to approach this in terms of making a recommendation? Or Jocelyn, go ahead.
I don't have any ideas yet exactly. This is all new information that I'm taking in. I'm pretty interested. And I mean, I guess I feel like I'm actually probably more interested from like the aesthetics as far as what we actually end up with than the concern is driven by how much does it cost, but I also would want to take that into account.
So shall we table this to the next meeting?
I guess a question maybe back for Amy is what would our involvement look like? Is that something where we would suggest a budget, or if the arts group comes back with something that we feel is exorbitant, that we would provide a recommendation to go with something a little bit more budget conscious?
It could be as much or as little as you want. Like I said, the art piece previously went to the council and Main Street group and the businesses, and staff felt like we had enough positive feedback to move forward with it. And both the Willamette Neighborhood Association and Main Street group voiced some objections. So now it's been put into the Arts Commission's hands to decide on a different piece of art that meets the desires of the community. And we just want to make sure we're being inclusive with everybody, and you are another board and specifically have the tie to having the water funding portion.
Is there a time frame for this?
No, the foundation of and the fountain itself is currently under construction, and that's going to go forward. It's more, and that will be the base of whatever piece of art is chosen by the community. So.
It's a good question too. Did I hear you correctly, Amy, that there's also going to be carbonated water provided at the fountain?
Yeah. I don't know how that decision was made, but it's going to be, you know, normal water and carbonated water.
Okay.
Okay.
I realize we're not being asked to weigh in on it. That seems
okay.
Kind of wild to me.
Okay. So looking at the time here and stuff, perhaps we could get an update at our next meeting, okay? On this. So is everybody comfortable with moving on to other business? Okay. Any other business?
I have none.
No. Okay.
I just have one. I don't want to step on anybody's toes here. The joint city council UAB meeting. Where are we at in terms of that projected out into time here?
I spoke with Lauren this morning, and we don't have a projected timeline yet. I think there's a lot of moving parts with the 205 project, and it's coming at staff pretty quickly. But I don't think she feels yet that she has enough financial information about how much money what the financial options are to get that schedule, but that should be coming quite soon. I'm getting that on the
calendar. Well, we're looking at February 25th for the deadline, and of course it's going to have to be before then.
Yep.
So, okay. Lola's getting impatient over here, by the way. So, right, Doc. Okay. So, okay. Well, does anybody else have anything they want to add in terms of other business?
Well, I guess while we're on that topic, I mean, does it look like January then for a meeting with city council to be able to make that deadline if we needed to?
It could be as early as November, but probably as late as January. So. Okay.
I would like to, if we could have maybe at the November meeting. You know, if we had a November meeting or a December meeting. So anyway, I'm just putting that out there.
Don't we need to do a November meeting to be able to vote on at least to be able to vote on the typical increase that we would vote on?
Right, which would be 1 month out from now.
December.
So maybe we should just get a kind of a head count here. How many people would prefer a November or December meeting? You know?
I think probably November for me, at least. I think that's what our typical timing has been too.
Okay.
Even enough time.
Anybody else?
On a rate increase.
I'm good with
it. Doesn't matter to me.
Okay. So should we just tentatively plan, Amy, then for a November meeting then?
Yeah, we can do that. And I can follow up with Lauren on whether that decision should be had in November or if December is adequate time. That would make the next meeting on our regular second Tuesday of the month, November 9th.
Okay. All right. So anything else from the board? So do I hear a motion for adjournment then?
I so moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to adjourn the meeting. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, opposed? Okay. Thank you very much. We'll see you in on November the 9th, unless circumstances dictate that it's on December. Okay.
Thank you, John.
Okay, you guys have a great month. We'll see you next month. Okay.